Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, trusted for remodeling projects big and small. Ideas at callmosby.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. If beauty is in the eye of the beholder, so is scale. And that's precisely what St. Louis artist Henry Moyerman plays with. And he does so with Legos and photography. So many of us have likely built or at least seen various Lego creations, or maybe you're like me and you recall very particular pain that comes when you step on one of these Lego bricks in the middle of the night when the lights are off and your child has forgotten to put them away. But I digress. Henry Moyerman builds small Lego sculptures, but he photographs them in a way that makes them appear monumental. An exhibit of these photographs is now on display through October 18th at the St. Louis Artists Guild in Clayton. Henry Moyerman, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Thank you for having me.
So, can you relate to that pain I described?
Unfortunately, I can. I had a really bad incident in the fifth grade where I stepped on a Lego brick and it tore a hole in the bottom of my foot. And it was very painful, struggled to walk for about a week after that. So I know the pain very well because there were Lego bricks always on the floor of my house.
So that was monumental in a different way.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So when you were a kid, you're talking about these Legos that you had. How did you become interested in building with Legos? Was there an influence in your life?
Sure. So, and for all the big nerd Lego fans like myself, I will start out by saying that the community prefers the term Lego bricks or Lego elements, whereas then Lego is a company. I know it's silly, but most people just still use Legos.
Okay.
But so my interest in Lego bricks came before I can even remember. I was always building. I was always asking for Lego sets. And when I was in 1998, I went to Legoland, California, the second week it opened.
In Carlsbad.
Yes.
Yep.
And I bought a book that actually I'm looking at right in front of me, Big Book of Lego, and there's a page about the future of sculpture.
Oh.
And when I saw this way that Lego could be used as an artistic medium, and it just blew my mind, especially one particular work that was 7 feet tall, and it was all blue, and it was this beautiful minimalistic work. And as a 9-year-old, I felt this craving to have as many Lego bricks as possible of the same size and the same color.
Right.
But as a 9-year-old, you don't have the resources to do anything like that. But that idea never left my mind.
Mm-hmm. So does that mean that you have been building with Lego bricks ever since you were a child, or did you return to this pastime at some point?
Sure. So in the Lego community, there's something called your dark ages, where you are building with Lego, and then there's a period of your life where you stop, and then you come back to it. My dark ages might have been a year or two. I mean, it was very, very brief. Basically, I got to college at Berklee College of Music in Boston, and I had this little studio apartment. I didn't have a lot of room for Lego, so for really just a couple years, I stopped building, and then went right back to it. So basically, with no gaps, my whole life I've been building with Lego. It's been a great creative outlet for me my whole life.
Mm-hmm. Was there a community that you connected with?
Not initially, but I've lived in a few different locations, and I grew up in St. Louis, and when I moved back to St. Louis from Los Angeles, I learned about the Gateway Lug, which is the Gateway Lego user community, and I got to connect with other Lego builders and share my work, and I was coming at it from a very different approach from a lot of other builders, but, you know, we all find it a very interesting medium to do all sorts of creation with.
Mm-hmm. So you're here because you've got this exhibit,
yes,
which means now everybody can see what a Lego brick person you are.
Yes.
And you've combined Lego sculptures with photography.
Yes.
And you're really playing with scale.
Mm-hmm.
What's the origin of this idea, the book that you've brought with you, or were there some other things along the way that made you think about approaching Lego building and photography in this fashion?
Sure. So growing up, I had an interest in Lego, an interest in art, and an interest in photography, but they all seemed, for the most part, separate. Obviously, I just talked about my love for building with the Lego brick, but also my dad was an avid photographer, and he gave me a camera at a very young age, and so I used to love to go out and take photos myself. But at a very young age, I was gravitating towards a different way of taking photos. I remember specifically going on a trip to the Botanical Gardens here in St. Louis, and I was not taking pictures of any of the flowers or anything like that. I was taking pictures of benches to get this great perspective on the side of the bench with those great leading lines, or I would be on my stomach on a path trying to get this photo of the lines that are going inside the path. And so I really liked photography in that way. But then at the same time, I grew up going to art fairs at Lohmeyer Sculpture Park and in Clayton. And then when I studied music for my undergrad, we had to take art history courses. And that just really opened my mind to the whole world of art, especially the last 200 years of art. Just really fascinated me. And living in Boston at the time, the art museums were incredible. And I found so much identity, but also enjoyment from going to art museums. And from being there, I felt this urge to answer, to contribute, not just to view the art statically. But I didn't know what that would look like. And so I started experimenting both in photography and with Lego. But at first they were very separate, where I would build sculptures as standalone objects to be appreciated in a gallery. But then I would take pictures where Lego might be the subject, but I wasn't making a sculpture for the photograph. It would be placing a minifigure in an interesting area, or maybe having a pile of thousands of bricks and seeing what that would look like. But it wasn't until recently that I learned that combining the two could really create a unique voice for myself.
Mm-hmm. And that voice is coming from Henry Moyerman, who is a St. Louisan, who makes sculptures with Lego bricks,
yes,
and then photographs them in such a way that they look massive.
Yes.
So, Henry, what is in the exhibit at the St. Louis Artists Guild are small sculptures, and they're paired with large format photos that make these sculptures look monumental.
Right.
What is an example of something that is in this exhibit?
Sure. So it's debuting this latest work, which you've beautifully described. It's taking these very small purpose-built sculptures that are not really meant to be their own standalone objects, but the source of photography. So some of those small objects are in the exhibition, but they're not right next to the photographs. So there's a little bit of mystery of seeing the photograph on the wall and then trying to figure out, was the source material something that's in this room or not?
Oh.
And if anybody's really interested, I'm the Brick Sculptor on Instagram, and I post all the behind-the-scene photos. So I'll show the actual photo that's in the gallery, but then if you scroll over, it shows the behind-the-scenes of my whole photography setup and what the original object was. But the exhibition is called Built Over Time because not only is it debuting this latest work, but I also wanted to show how I got here. So there's a selection of my art over the last decade, which started as standalone sculptures. Some of them are towering. They are 6 feet tall. But then there's also my early photography there that is separate. One of those instances I talked about was Translucent Blue Sea is a work of mine where it's these very small 1x2 blue translucent bricks, but it's thousands of them. And seeing them sort of creates the sea-like structure. So it's the early photography, it's early sculptures, and then the debut of this latest work.
Mm-hmm. So the newest piece in your exhibit, what is that?
So it's 6 new works that I've debuted. The first one is called Green Columns. It's the one that, depending on where you enter the gallery, it's the first one you see. It's the first picture on my website. And it's made of nothing but 2x4 green bricks. And they're columns that are arranged in a row. And that was the very first photo I even made in this series. I wasn't exactly sure how it was all going to turn out, but I had this vision in my head of multiples. I wanted multiples of the exact same column in this repetition. But I wasn't sure how it would come out when I took my photograph. And once I got the lighting, I got the perspective the way I wanted it. I thought it would come out very abstract, but instead it came out very architectural. And I realized that that was really what I was after, was mimicking real life architecture, but in a sort of still abstract and surreal way, so that when people look at these photos, they're not exactly sure what they're seeing. I intentionally obscure any logos, so you don't see the Lego logo. All Lego is made from injection molding, so I'm even hiding the injection marks so that the medium is a little bit ambiguous, so you're not sure, is that something in real life? Is this imagined? And people, if they don't know that it's built with Lego, they might not know that that's the source material. Mm-hmm.
And I can attest to that. Looking at some of the images online, if I had no idea that Lego was part of it in any way, or that Lego bricks yes. are part of it in any way, it's kind of mind-blowing, actually.
Thank you.
So as far as the architecture then is concerned, does that mean that you plan out what you're going to build, or do you look at a pile of bricks and say, this is what I can make out of it?
It's more of the pre-planning. I will just sit at an art museum or just sit at my art studio, put on some music. My favorite is to listen to Steve Reich, a great minimalist composer. And I just find that ideas start coming to me, and I make sure I've got my notebook with me so I can immediately write down, what if I stacked this type of brick in this way? It might have an interesting way to come out. And then I try it, and not everything works out. And that's part of what I love about the medium, is how iterative it is. I can try an idea, and if I don't like it, I don't have to move forward. And if I want to alter it slightly, I can change the bricks a little bit, because I never glue anything. So I can always change it a little bit. And with photography, I can always change the lighting. I can change the perspective. And I love having that much control over the final product to really fit whatever my vision is.
Mm-hmm. The photographing part of what you are doing, what do you do with the camera in order to achieve that massive effect?
Sure. So a big part is having the right equipment. So in this case, a macro lens that allows me to concentrate on something very, very small. And then what's wonderful for me is my subject does not move. So if I want to do a 30-second exposure to get the effect I want, not a problem. Nothing's going to move except me. So I always have to have a remote shutter and make sure when I take the photograph, I am perfectly still. I don't want to step. I don't want to move around. And so it's getting the right lighting. It's the right lens. But then the biggest part is just the perspective. Sometimes it's overhead, but often it's at a very low perspective. And that way it seems like you're looking up at something very, very large, when in fact you don't have any references for scale. So your mind goes to what you're used to, which is very large buildings or towers or things like that. But in fact, it's something incredibly small. And that's always something I've been interested in, is just unusual perspectives and messing with the idea of scale. I remember when I first set up my office in LA, I actually had a model train in three different scales. It was the same locomotive. I had it in N scale, HO, O, and so each one was double the size of the one before. And I was just fascinated by that idea of, here's the same object, but we're presenting it in different sizes. And all of that just comes into inform what I want to make creatively.
Mm-hmm. What do you do in editing?
Oh, yeah. Editing, that one's been the newest thing to me, because growing up, I had a film camera, so I wasn't editing anything. And one of my favorite photos I've ever taken, the one I referenced earlier, Translucent Blue Sea, has no editing to it whatsoever. Mm. I didn't crop it. I didn't adjust the light. I just was filled with awe and wonder when I took the photograph of, oh my God, this is what can come out of a camera lens. That was very lucky on that first try. The biggest thing is adjusting the lighting to get it to look just right. And then I am really, really nitpicky. So before I take these photographs, because I'm concentrating on something so small, I use a vacuum to dust everything, and I might even use some silly putty or a glass cleaner to make sure there are no fingerprints. But some of it still gets in, and then in the edit, I'm taking those little specks of dust and dirt that I may have missed with my own eye, but because it's focused on such a small area, I clean that up to make it as clean and almost sometimes surreal as possible in the photos. And then I found recently that I really like the square format. And so it's cropping to make sure that I'm showcasing the exact square perspective I want. Sometimes it fills up the whole original photograph, but other times I choose to focus on a much smaller area of what I originally took.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of trial and error then, obviously.
Yes.
Is there one in the current exhibit where you had to take a lot of photos? Like you remember... feeling a different kind of pain.
Yeah, great question. The first thing that comes to mind is dark gray windows. So in this work, it's the opposite of what I just said from a down-up kind of perspective. With this photograph, it looks like you're almost on a rooftop looking down at a large wall of windows. And when I first took it, I realized, oh my God, there are smudges on these bricks and there's dust everywhere. Okay, let's do this again. So I took it again and then I realized, oh, there are these injection molding marks on some of these tiles that I'm using. All right, I have to reverse that to make sure. So I kept going over and over changing the original model because I couldn't edit these things out, or if I did, it would take way too much time. So there were many, many different versions of just trying to get the shot exactly right. And it's funny because sometimes these situations create a wonderful outcome, because in this one specifically, I noticed that in these in-between spots of the sculpture, there was so much dust that I couldn't get out. And so in editing, I brought the black levels down so that instead of the dust, you saw these black voids in the spaces in between the bricks. And it went from kind of looking like windows to making the illusion so good that sometimes I look at the photograph and I'm not even sure what I'm looking at and what the right perspective is.
Yeah. So Built Over Time, it opened last week.
Yes.
What kinds of reactions have you either gotten from people or that you've observed people having?
Well, it was an absolute dream come true Friday night at the opening. There were hundreds of people there. I got all sorts of interesting questions all night. The biggest thing that I really that I loved hearing from people is, how did you do that?
Mm.
And to me, that adds a layer of engagement to the art when people, they have an idea, but they're still not sure how exactly something's made with putting a little mystery with the craft, and then watching people have that aha moment where there might be some of that sample material in the gallery and they say, oh, that's how that one got made. And then with some of the large structures, they ask, oh my goodness, how many bricks is that? How long did that take? And overall, just getting compliments on presenting such unusual work in the space, it made me so happy.
Mm-hmm. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Henry Moyerman is a St. Louis artist, and his Built Over Time exhibit is on display at the St. Louis Artists Guild through October 18th.
Today's episode was produced by our executive producer, Alex Hoyer.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see Time is of the essence.
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.